in the next hour to have your say. You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 and KPFT.org.
Unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? Always live and the only show originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here, only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown, along with indispensable Shannon McKerchie, working the boards. One of my favorite passages about storytelling, written or spoken, is a quote by Anton Chekhov. "Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass." The point? Well, the recipient of a teller's creation never stands still, because along with the artist's rendering of a life to engage, a character to endear, a villain to scorn, a moral to ponder, the fortunate ones who take time to listen and absorb, and ultimately own the experience on which they are taken, know the powerful relationship between storyteller and listener. Tellers show things through words, gesture, face, and voice. We do see the glint of light as we travel, somewhere, because just as tellers in the oral tradition take listeners on journeys before returning them safely to the present, writers seem to build vessels, one word at a time, beckoning readers to be the ocean and themselves its sails. Well, tonight we look at stories through a writer's eyes, the eyes that belong to my guest, LaVon Carlson. LaVon is the author of 5 books, including The Complete Idiot's Guide to Being Psychic, which is something we've read diligently here at KPFT, and 2 Little Bill stories. Now, after graduating from UT Austin, she moved to New York City to be a writer and did so for 15 years. Then she returned back to Houston, where she was raised, and LaVon has worked in communications at nonprofit organizations that focus on healthcare. Right now, she's at UT Health, Harris County Psychiatric. She also learned public speaking through Shakespeare at Wynedale and Toastmasters, and is a member of the Houston Storytellers Guild. LaVon, how are you? Here you are, your first radio debut, right?
This pretty is amazing. Fantastic. Huh? It's fun.
Right. Well, you know, it isn't the old Johnny Carson, or it isn't Merv Griffin, but or Ed Sullivan even, but it's okay. Most people out there under the age of 45 have no idea what we're talking about, but since there's only 6 or 7 people listening to us, at least we probably have. We probably have a good thing. You know, it's amazing how this show really does encourage me to do things like look up various information about our guests. And, you know, here you are, a guild member, and I'm a guild member, and I've seen you at meetings, and we kind of know each other here and there. And I'm ashamed of myself because it's really astounding to see all the stuff that you've accomplished. It's shocking. You know, I meet you and I go, wow, I can't believe she did that. It's sort of like the feeling people get when they meet me. They say, you know, I never really dreamed that he'd be that handsome and sexy and intelligent. And people are shocked by that. You know, they're shocked by that. Right, Shannon? They're shocked. So I understand what it's like to be really shocked and amazed. You have to tell us about The Complete Idiot's Guide to Being Psychic, and again, especially because there's such wide application here at the station. And tell us, what is that about?
Well, it's an idiot's guide. It's about being psychic, but it actually had a second edition, and it's called A Complete Idiot's Guide to Psychic Awareness. But either either way, it was written with a woman who's a professional psychic. She kind of told the stories, and I did a lot of the research and all the writing, and really came out with the theory that everybody is psychic by being intuitive. It's really about intuition.
Right. If my wife is listening, she's reading my mind right now, because I have this spooky tendency to, and this is the honest to God, unconditional truth, I swear on my son's head, that I will dream about a particular actor or actress dying, honest to God, and the person has died a day or two later. It's true. I mean, I'll give you an example. One night I had a dream that Phyllis Diller died. And I swear to God, 5 hours later, I get up and she died 2 hours before then. So in other words, I dreamt this about 3 hours before she died. Also movies. If I think about a movie, the movie seems to be on the air a week later. And as strange as that sounds, it's the honest to God truth. I believe in being psychic. I really do. And I think that instinct is a crazy thing. Are you psychic?
Well, I guess we all are.
Do you believe in that stuff? Really?
Well, I do believe in intuition. I believe we all are able to sense things. And, you know, time, from a certain point in time, it could radiate outward in a circle.
Yeah.
And so if it's radiating backwards, you could be picking up on that.
Are those the kinds of things you talk about in The Idiot's Guide?
Because
that's pretty intelligent, you know, for an idiot. I almost said an idiot's guide to being psychotic, but it's just the word is too close. That's fascinating. I love that stuff. I do. Are you into astrology? You do that kind of stuff too?
Oh, I enjoy it. I don't know how serious.
Yeah, it's entertaining. Now the little Bill books are really nothing short of cool. I looked them up, and you've got a couple there, and they're really fascinating. Tell us about the concept behind them.
Well, it's part of a Nickelodeon TV series, and Scholastic did the book versions. The idea is to, you know, have kids learn good, wholesome values. And it was originally developed by Bill Cosby. Who's a big hero. He's a big hero for me when I was growing up.
Yeah. And I think it's important to know that. I mean, regardless of what's happening right now with him, we have to understand that even the strangest person who's under some level of scrutiny has done really good things. And that's the truth. And I thought he was always funny and always very, very talented. I want to read what one reviewer said about that book, about your book. And she wrote, "Everyday Heroes. This is a wonderful book, and the ending is perfect, especially if you're a dad who'll be reading this to your child." Now, what gives it a perfect ending?
Well, it talks about all the different people we know in our everyday lives. It starts out with little Bill having a superhero doll and finding out that the police woman who holds the sign across the street, the fireman who helps the cat out of the tree, the pet store owner who helps a dog find a home. All these people are heroes.
Yeah, they really are. And why dad? Why is this a good thing for a dad to read to a child?
Well, because his dad is his hero. And you know what he does at the end? He reads him a bedtime story.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's a storyteller.
Isn't that something? Yeah. The best people are. And people are natural storytellers. But bedtime stories are things we don't hear that much about. And I was hoping you'd say that because, you know, how do you characterize a hero as someone who reads a bedtime story? Well, it's an interchange, it's interaction. You spend time with the person. There's a lot of heroing going on when you do tell a story. It becomes a memorable experience. I love that idea. Now, you have two original stories for us tonight. Did you write them for tonight's show?
Well, telling them for a while.
Okay, all right. A little bit of refining, though. I know you were working on a few things. Great. In a few words, what's your first story about? Just in a few words.
It's about an encounter I had with a homeless gentleman.
Very good. We're looking forward to it. Please.
Well, the story actually started at a Storytellers Guild meeting. It was about a year ago, and members were talking about the upcoming spring equinox. It happens every year on March 20th, but this was a Thursday, and the idea was that the various churches were inviting people to come walk the labyrinth and have this spiritual experience in the community. And Thursday night for me, for the past several years, I'd gone to a Thursday night meeting. It was a parent support group for parents with teenagers with special challenges. So I was at a crossroads. Did I go to my Thursday night meeting? And I was walking down the street from my apartment in the museum district. I came to Caroline, and I decided, instead of going straight onto the meeting at that church, I would take a right and be spontaneous and spiritual, and walked a couple of blocks to the labyrinth. And when I got there, I realized I'd worn the wrong shoes. I had these semi-heels, and the labyrinth was made of these little tiny pebbles. So I took the shoes off, started on the labyrinth, and soon realized that it was going to be really painful. But I was proud, and I was going to do it. So I walked the first turn, and off in the distance, I saw someone walking towards me. I made the next turn, and this time, he was at Rosedale and Caroline. The next turn, I saw that he was waiting for me on the sidewalk. So I went and I got my shoes. I stepped off of the labyrinth and went to see what he wanted. He told me his name was Jose, and he just got off the bus from San Antonio. And he had an appointment at the VA hospital the next morning. But could I help him find a homeless shelter to stay at for the night? Well, honestly, I didn't know where the nearest homeless shelter was. So, and I Googled it, and, you know, I couldn't find. So I ended up calling the Men's Center, because some of the kids that, some of the teenagers in this group I'm in have had to stay there in sort of a halfway house situation. So I called the Men's Center, and sure enough, they said he could take the train down Main Street and there'd be, he could find the homeless shelter. And I told him that, and he said, well, okay, but, you know, I have this brown leather jacket here, and I need some money, and he wanted me to buy the jacket, and I had no need for a men's leather jacket. But I did notice he was a little scruffy around the edges. He was well-kept, but I told him, you know, I don't need the jacket, but I'll walk you towards the metro rail and show you how to get back to the shelter. And as we were walking, he asked me if I would bless him. And it took me a few moments to figure out that what he meant was, would I give him some money? So I don't usually do it, but I gave him what I had. And then when we were closer to the rail, and he said, you've blessed me. Now I want to bless you. He said, what do you get when you cross a reindeer with bad eyesight and a pair of glasses? And I said, I don't know. What do you get when you cross a reindeer with bad eyesight and a pair of glasses? And he said, a good idea. Get it? A good idea. And we were both laughing, and he had this toothless grin and a sparkle in his eye. And it was just a sweet experience.
That's beautiful.
It was time to say goodbye. And he went on to the his way, and I decided I was going to go to my meeting after all. And I thought to myself, I'd given him a few dollars, and he'd blessed me with a fantastic joke. And he taught me about compassion and how we can learn to care about others by, even if they're different from us, by seeing what we share in common. And he also helped me get off that unproductive path with those painful pebbles.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story. Thank you. I didn't know that that's what "will you bless me" means. I really didn't know that.
I didn't
know what it meant. That's amazing. Yeah. But it was brave of you to walk over to him.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fear that I had to face and overcome. I live in the museum district. I spend a lot of time in Herman Park and have gotten to know a lot of people there who are very different from the people I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. This is Hank Rubicek with Shannon McKerchy, and you are listening to guest teller, author LaVon Carlson on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org if you are listening online. But whatever avenue you selected to get here, I am awfully glad that you are here. Now, before we go any farther, I want to wish Shannon a one-day late happy birthday.
Why, thank you.
and say it. Okay. How was your birthday?
It was great. And I'm looking forward to a fantastic weekend on the beach.
Right. And so how does it feel to be 86? Does it feel good?
It feels pretty good to be 28.
You are so disgustingly young that it just
I'm
makes me.
I'm dealing with it. I'm okay.
You're dealing with it. That's so terrible. We couldn't do without you. I could not do without you. And I'm telling the world. Next week, my guest teller is going to be Stacy Fike, owner of Glow Girl Spray Tanning here in Houston, and another student that I ambushed and subsequently threatened if she wouldn't be on the show. She's spirited, smart, and someone not to miss, but I know that you don't want to miss any show because this gig is a hard one to break. LaVon, what inspired your next story?
Well, a trip to New England and a nice walk in the woods.
That's beautiful. Can't beat that. Can't beat that. Let's hear your story. What is it?
Well, this story started in the fall of 1987, so it was about 28 years ago. I'd been working in New York for about a year at that point and had my first vacation. I wanted to be independent, take a road trip, see those beautiful fall leaves on the East Coast, leave everything behind. I got into my 1978 Toyota Corolla and drove up the coast. I went to visit a friend of mine named Jim, who was from Austin, stayed with his girlfriend and him in their place in New Hampshire, had lobster. The next day, we went and saw the lighthouses on the coast in Maine. The next day, I decided to drive back on the mountainous side of the East Coast and see all those leaves. And when I was in Vermont, I was traveling through the Green Mountain National Forest, and I decided to do a little day hike. So I just pulled off in this old road, and there was this little library there that it was an old house that had been converted to a library. I parked my car, hopped out, and just hit the trail. It was a beautiful sunny day, beautiful fall colors. I was walking for a couple of hours and started to realize that maybe I didn't quite know where I was. Started to get a little uneasy, and suddenly along comes this hunter, and I'm like, yes, he can tell me how to get back. Well, he was this young guy, didn't really want anything to do with me, kind of pointed me down this path and said, that's the way to go. You'll get back if you go that way. Well, that didn't work either. And the afternoon wore on and it became evening. It got darker and darker. Finally, it was just completely dark. And it was cold. It was October in the Green Mountains of Vermont. And I just kept walking. I don't know what I was looking for, but I kept thinking I'd find my way. And suddenly I heard a sound below me. And I stopped and I looked down and there was this beaver dam. And there were these beaver frolicking and just ignoring me. And it was amazing. Until I realized that if I'd stepped even one more step over the edge, I would have gone down and it could have been really dangerous. So I kind of scurried back up to the top of the hill and I leaned against a tree. And I was wearing this big loose sweatshirt that my boyfriend at the time had loaned me. And I realized that if I pulled my knees up against me, I could pull the sweatshirt over my body, and I pulled in my arms, and I pulled over the head, and I turned into this little ball, and it was so cold. It was the longest night of my life. Eventually, I dozed off. Before I knew it, I was fully awake, and I was feeling completely connected with the being of the tree, and I felt the presence of the spirit of the tree, and it was feminine, and I had a vision, and it was beautiful. And I was awestruck, but I felt reassured and comforted. And before long, it was daybreak, and I got up, and I just walked straight, kept walking straight through the woods, and had this feeling that I needed to veer to the left, and I did that, and I came to a ridge, and I looked down over it, and there was this little development of houses along this old road, and I just stayed on the ridge and walked parallel to that out to the main highway. And I hitchhiked into the town and went to the police station. And they were pretty surprised, asked me a few questions and took me back to my car. I was so glad to hit the road and be back in civilization and get back to town and have that boyfriend and appreciate being with somebody. And I got married, and we were married for about 20 years, and now that's over. And Jim ended up going back to Austin, and he died after a couple of years. And he's gone. But I often think back about that fall day and that hike and that magical night, the beaver, those green mountains, the spirit of the tree. They're there even now. They live in me still.
That is a beautiful story. I mean, genuinely, it's a beautiful story. I don't say that with everybody here. Sometimes I say, interesting story, good story, but that was a beautiful story, very spiritual. And, you know, our listeners can't tell what you're doing, but I want to let them know what you do when you tell the story. You express yourself through gestures and posture, face and voice very beautifully, where they complement the words that you say. Because as you tell the story, it unfolds very fluently. And I think you think it through, don't you? You think through that story. You create the image before you actually articulate it. Which is what a lot of writers do. You think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot of ideas to come up with good ideas as a writer. But as a storyteller, at least vocally, you have to do things a little bit differently. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. I know it's going to be a tough question to respond to in a few seconds. But I want to talk about the difference between spoken and written storytelling, because you do them both. It was an interesting connection, of course, in that story with the first one. You've got a hunter. You've got a deer. Hello. Right? But other than that, I think really strange. Psychic. But I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, you're from Western Pennsylvania. Isn't that like beaver country? Or did I hear that someplace? Isn't it like the state of the beaver? Beaver state? Kind of? You know? No?
Boy.
I don't know. There's a lot of beavers around there. A lot of dams.
Yeah, there are. Beavers. Yes. There in West Virginia.
I don't know. They made an impact on me, obviously. Whenever I drove through Pennsylvania, I thought, a lot of beavers live here. That's really nice. Nice little animals chewing up the place. Yeah. Very nice. Good. Nice to be in Western Pennsylvania. Now, this is a really tough question, and I know it just takes, we just have a few seconds, but what do you think the difference is between telling a story in writing versus a story in spoken form? Just what are some of the differences?
Well, in spoken form, it feels very ephemeral to me. It can constantly change. For me, I don't think I could ever tell the same story the same way twice. I mean, there are professional storytellers who are amazing, and you know. But for me, it's kind of living the experience as I do it. With writing, there's a very physical component to it.
Yeah.
And once it's on paper, it's there.
That's absolutely true. I see that too. I tell students all the time, you know, if you write something, you give it to me. I can shove it in the drawer, and even if I don't fully understand what you're talking about, I can assess it and maybe come to grips with what you mean. But if you say it, you can really only hear it once. You can only really hear it once. It changes another time. And that's what makes it kind of dynamic, but it is a different structure. It's a different kind of an exercise. Shannon, what's your take on it? You're a writer. You write and you tell stories at the guild meetings. So what do you think the difference is?
Well, for me, the transition was, it was a hard one, but it's helped me come to terms with my perfectionism, you know, and helped me just not hold so tightly to each word and just let it go and let it breathe with the rest of it.
Yeah.
But they have complemented each other, but it was a hard transition at first because as a writer, you just want to get that right word on that page.
Which one do you enjoy doing more? Just absolutely enjoy doing more.
Maybe I consider it, it's for storytelling, it's just more natural. Because I guess I am a talker.
You?
Nah.
I don't think so.
You know, that's a tough one.
That's why
they
we
both
try
come
to keep
in different
you
forms.
At a minimum on our show, because it's only a half hour show, and I just don't want to be here all
the forms
night,
are different, you know, but they have their pros and cons, each one.
You're right. It's
And Shannon's a great writer, though. She really is. She is a great writer, and she's such a great writer. We're going to talk about Facebook in a minute, because she really does do a spectacular job. Now, speaking of the Guild, we've been talking about the Guild a little bit. I know that you've been very busy, and I sure do look forward to your return. And let me remind you and everybody else in the world out there about the Guild. The Storytellers Guild is our proud sponsor, and it really is hands down the best storytelling group in the state. We hold monthly story swaps on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Please check out our brand new site, because it really is a spectacular site. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a whole different thing. It's a great, great site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings. We do have the meeting coming up on Tuesday. It's one that I can't make. I very rarely miss it, but I can't make Tuesday. But show up, 7 to 8:30. And our So What's Your Story Facebook page might as well be an award-winning site, thanks to Shannon. Shannon, what are some of the things that people are going to find there, please?
Upcoming storytelling events, information on our storytellers each week, as well as many more things, all that fall under the realm of story.
Yeah. Great job. You really do a great job. And there's always a new, unique article going on, a new thing going on. You did a great thing with Leonard Nimoy a couple of weeks ago when he passed away. And but Shannon, I this is no hyperbole here. I'm not exaggerating that. Really, she really does a great job with Facebook. So I urge you all to please join us on Facebook and like us on the way out. We got to have you like us, right?
Yes.
This is So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, and you are enjoying my guest storyteller, author LaVon Carlson. You know, most authors agree that they can that easy to read is hard to write, and it's difficult to write clearly, descriptively, coherently, while evoking responses and feelings. Now, how do writers put it all together?
I think the trick is in the transitions. Mm-hmm. I was lucky. I had a teacher named Bill Stott. He was a professor at UT in American Studies and taught me a lot about transitions.
Yeah. Transitions really are important. Those verbal, nonverbal bridges, if you're telling stories, you have to be able to connect the proverbial dots. And I know that seems like a really trivial thing to say, but I struggle with that constantly with my own students. I tell them what's obvious to you is not obvious to anybody else. And that's the general rule of thumb. But I think it's harder in writing. I do. It's harder in writing. And transition. So that's the answer, really. That's how you put this stuff together. It's one of the answers.
Well, for me, and finding the simplest possible way to say it.
Yeah. And you really do want to say it simply. And that's why that adage, which I love, is easy read is hard to write. It really is. Very difficult.
Sometimes it helps to pretend you're telling, like you're speaking to somebody and you kind of think of who is that audience. You picture them and you tell it like a story.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough to do, but that's tough to do, but that's great advice. Great advice. Thank you, LaVon. We're almost done. What do you think? See, that wasn't bad at all.
This is fun.
Tell us what kind of stories that you liked growing up, first of all.
I loved biographies. I loved reading about other people.
Who's your favorite person?
Wow. Wish I could say myself.
And you can say that.
Okay, me.
Who's the person that you think would make a fabulous biography that you'd recommend we read?
Wow. Well, this is crazy, but I loved reading about Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone.
Hey,
and maybe that explains getting lost in the woods.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but that kind of folklore is beautiful. It's American folklore. Thank you so much, LaVon Carlson, for your artistic insights and clear wisdom. A formula that promotes creative potential and self-discovery. You're the real deal, and telling stories in any form advances our understanding of human expression, the authentic mechanism used to convey how we feel, think, and live. Scooter is up next with the Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and I'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Until next week, I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
On Saturday, March 21st, the 2015 Sounds of Texas Music Series kicks off with a double bill featuring Kelly Willis and Bruce Robison, plus singer-songwriter John Fulbright. Bruce Robison is one of country and Americana music's most respected songwriters, with compositions that have been covered by George Strait, Tim McGraw, and the Dixie Chicks. He'll be joined on stage by his wife, popular songwriter Kelly Willis. Both are well known as solo artists, and Kelly and Bruce recently collaborated on a pair of critically acclaimed albums together.